Well, let's get started here. We'll warm up with a few verses. We'll start off here with something out of the Testament of Judah. Okay, and the Testament of Judah. Now remember, this is before Jesus died on the cross and rose again. So keeping these things in mind, we can see the struggle of the defiled conscience, but yet the choices that one makes is concerning faith, okay, or faith in the covenant, which the Lord revealed, or also abandoning that covenant. What we see here, a Testament of Judah. Know therefore, my children, that two spirits wait upon man, the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. And he's talking about is concerning the angel of righteousness being the spirit of truth, the spirit of deceit also being that which is the spirit of man, and of course the spirit of this world. And being the spirit of this world, it works in those things which are in rhythm with the record of man, and it tries to establish the record of man to be the witness of God, which, of course, is feigned faith. But we see here in the Testament of Judah, know therefore, my children, that two spirits wait upon man, the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. In the midst is the spirit of understanding of the mind. The Apostle Paul talks about the same thing, concerning the law, and that which is concerning faith, to which it belongs, to turn whithersoever it will. And the works of the truth and the works of deceit are written upon the hearts of men. And each one of them, the Lord knows, because the Lord scans the state of the conscience with his eyes of fire. Now, and there is no time at which the works of men can be hid. And this is in reflection and regarding the state of Adam's conscience after transgression, how he hid among the trees. Now, for on the heart itself, have they been written down before the Lord? And I thought that was kind of interesting. And regarding the imprint, the imprint upon the heart, the choices that are made, are written down before the eyes of God. For on the heart itself have they been written down before the Lord. Now we see the same thing in Hebrews chapter 8. And the Spirit of truth testifies all things and accuses all. I'll say it again. The Spirit of truth testifies all things and accuses all. That is, those which are not in covenant. Now, that's the same thing Jesus said. Of sin, because they believed not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And Jesus is speaking also of these particular three things there, how the Spirit will give witness to these things. So the Spirit of truth testifies and accuses all. Those which are not in covenant. It's when the conscience is opened. The spirit is burnt. He's burnt up by his own heart. And that's the guilt. I cannot raise his face to the judge. That was out of the Testament of Judah. We can see also Jesus talk about of judgment. They have sin, righteousness, and judgment. That the prince of this world is judged. But the prince of the world, during the time of this experience of Judah, the prince of this world had not been judged yet. And considering the covenant with Jesus was going to provide. And we'll be talking more about that as concerning the lie. His truth and his no lie. Here's another one. Testament of Judah. Chapter 4. Verse 4, if you want to make a note on some of these things. The state of the conscience before the cross. And the state of the conscience after the cross. Why Jesus had to die on the cross. And why was it that God initiated these things? Before the world began, that these were things which our Father planned in his bosom before the world began. All right, well, here Judah said, to me he gave the things upon the earth, and to Levi there the things which are in the heavens. So we can see the priesthood and the stewardship. Because talk about to him, which has to do with Levi. And God put the symbolisms within the sun and the moon. So to me he gave the things upon the earth, and to him, as Levi, the things of the heavens. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so is the priesthood of God, higher than the earthly kingdom. And that's why our priesthood is important, because it's through the priesthood that we're tethered to the throne. And through the stewardship, the knowledge is given, and regarding unfolding this knowledge, unfolding this mystery, the stewardship and the priesthood. So as the heaven is higher than the earth, so is the priesthood of God higher than the earthly kingdom, unless it falls away through sin. okay, from the Lord and is dominated by the earthly kingdom. Okay, we can see that in the false religious system. When he talks about the earthly kingdom, he's talking about the false religious system. Because we can see two kingdoms. Okay, two kingdoms and the contrast of these things. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God. Okay, the kingdom of those things which are carnal. Okay, and the kingdom of those things which are spiritual. Okay, so we see the uniting of these two kingdoms through Melchizedek and Abraham. Okay, which of course would bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And when Jesus establishes millennial reign, you're going to see peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Okay, that the provisions for salvation has been provided. Okay, but the uniting of them, okay, is through the covenant. Okay, in Jesus, our covenant, okay, will be present within this dimension. Okay, showing the bonding of these two kingdoms. Okay, and that which is the greater. Okay, which has to do with that which is the covenant of faith. Greater than that, which is the covenant of Moses. All right, let's read another thing here, and we'll get this done before the bell rings. Okay, Judah also describes that which is Levi and Judah, the priesthood and the stewardship. For the kings shall be as sea monsters. And we see the same thing in the book of Hermas. Hermas talks about the creature Hegron, out of whose mouth came locusts, the locusts which devour the wheat. It devours everything that's green. Okay, and false knowledge should be spewn out of a false religious system that would be a large creature. Now this is what Hermas had in his vision, and this is what Judah is also speaking about. Okay, that the false religious system, okay, is like has the knowledge of the locusts. Okay, all it does is consume. It just consumes for itself. Okay, and they shall swallow men, and that is like plankton. These kings, as sea monsters, or the false stewards as sea monsters, shall swallow men, like plankton or like fishes. The sons and daughters of free men shall they enslave. They shall enslave with houses, lands, flocks, money shall they plunder. And that's the false religious system. The knowledge of the world plunders for itself. Okay, even as the law of Moses is self-referencing. Because all it does is expose the condition of the soul and defile conscience, but doesn't bring the remedy of its cleansing, which Jesus Christ brings. Okay, that which is the remedy of our cleansing. And we're going to get started here. So I have your Bibles open to the book of Ephesians. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We'll get started here. Okay, we're in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be going from Ephesians 4. Also be jumping to Jude. Chapter 1, and also to the epistle of Chief Elder John. Well, let's get started here. We touched on some of these things last week, okay, about the defiled conscience. Okay, and the defiled conscience bears with it, okay, the guilt and shame. Okay, and of course, guilt has to do with the state of that which is less than light, as shame identifies the kingdom. Shame is another name for Satan. Okay, his kingdom is less than light, and anything that less than light carries with it a transgression against God. Okay, so the heavens have to be cleansed, okay, for the kingdom to be established upon the earth, for God's kingdom to be established upon the earth. Okay, but right now, we can see that the kingdom of darkness is dominant. The principalities and powers of the air are dominant. That's why the world lies in wickedness, as Chief Elder John brings out in chapter 5 of 1 John. Okay, the world lies in wickedness. And then he says also, you little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Of course, an idol is a lie. Okay, an idol is also a substitution for the truth. An idol is a substitution for the truth. Okay, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, but the false religious system, okay, replaced his propitiation, the tokens of his propitiation, okay, which are established within the covenant, which he provided for us, okay, and regarding these gifts, the operations and administrations of his kingdom. Okay, Jesus' name is in this kingdom. Okay, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life. Okay, so law came by Moses. Okay, but of course we can see that truth came in the spirit, spirit and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Well, let's go on. Okay, so we're starting around verse 19. where he describes these things, who being past feelings, highlight the word past feeling. Okay, when you highlight the word past feeling, also highlight the word lasciviousness. Now we'll be talking more about that. Okay, because lasciviousness, okay, are those things which you're putting off. It is the lie. Okay, which has to do with the expression of one's passions with religious pretense. Okay, the expression of religious passion with, I can say, or these passions here with religious pretense. This is what the Apostle Paul is bringing out. Okay, which also Chief Elder John brings out. Okay, little children. Okay, when he speaks about little children, he's talking about those which just entered into the covenant. Okay, and we can see three processes. Okay, that are engaged with this, with his fullness here. The enlightenment, and it has to do with the seal, and it has to do with covenant priesthood. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings this out. Okay, if you have heard of him, which is the enlightenment, and have been taught by him, which is the seal, the inner to the experience of speaking in tongues, as even as the truth is in Jesus, which means now you're coming into covenant priesthood. So these three things are necessary. Okay, now, most believers, the majority of believers stop in enlightenment. Okay, and then from that, a few more go proceed further to the seal and stop there. Even a majority that's smaller than that are those which come into covenant priesthood. Okay, but in other words, there'd be few that be saved. There'd be few that be saved. And we can see the processes, okay, of processes of elimination, okay, through separation. Okay, and the purging of the children of Israel. Okay, and of course, Paul brings those things out. Okay, as Moses, the stewardship, and the priesthood were engaged within this purging process. Because not all that came out of Egypt by Moses entered the promised land. Not all. Okay, so the majority of the percentages continually were reduced more and more and more. Okay, we can see these things when the enlightenment, okay, as a net cast forth into the sea, and is drawn to land. Okay, and of course we can see the Lord used that parable, okay, the parable of choice. Okay, so the good were retained, but the bad were cast back. They were just cast back again. So we can see the percentages continue to decrease to this point. We can see the enlightenment. This is when God pours out his spirit, pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Not all flesh will receive it. So we can see the next stage is considering the seal. The inner to the experience of speaking in tongues. Okay, but most will stop there. You say 75% will stop there because they have not been properly instructed, okay, concerning their responsibility, the priesthood. So being stuck within that environment, okay, there's actually three environments. Okay, there's the black, the green, and the white, okay, which is also brought out in the book of Enoch. The black, the green, and the white. Okay, now, the Lord gave me a dream, okay, in regarding these three stages. Okay, now the black, it is the defiled conscience. Okay, but the illumination never proceeded in that, any further than that. Okay, the green are those which have been sealed, but never proceeded into the covenant, so they didn't proceed any further. So therefore, though they were sealed, God gave them a token, but they were not properly instructed of how to use a token. You put a fork in their hand, but they didn't have enough sense to use it. Then the ghosts which come in covenant have fork in hand and food on the plate, and now they have the knowledge, they're receiving the knowledge of how to feed themselves, okay, how to partake of the Lord. If you have tasted the Lord, the graciousness of the Lord. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings the same thing out again in Hebrews chapter 6. And concerning this enlightenment and tasting the world, the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Okay, you see the enlightenment, you see the seal, and you also see the covenant priesthood within that. Okay, so you see this divine processes. Okay, within this purging, as the illustration brings out, okay, the fire of the Lord, okay, is purging. Okay, as concerning the wood, the hay, the stubble, okay, are consumed. Okay, the consumption, okay, of these elements take place only within your priesthood. And this is why the Apostle Paul is bringing these things out to the church. He's instructing them through these things. Okay, you should be saved even so as by fire. That's the process, the illumination, okay, of those things which are less than light. Okay, the cycles of your growth, the work of regeneration. The work of generation takes place through the covenant priesthood. Your involvement of reciprocation is important for the cleansing process and the reward process. The cleansing and reward. Okay, the sowing and the reaping. Okay, now you see these things brought out in more detail in the epistles, of course, which we're talking about right here. Okay, now we see in verse 19, who being past feeling. Okay, well, let's start in verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, I talk about those which are pursuing that which is the vanity of the mind. The defiled conscience, okay, the consumption of the defiled conscience is false knowledge. Okay, so the defiled conscience dines on the knowledge of this world, defiled knowledge. It's the knowledge of this world, it's evil. Okay, why is it evil? Because it doesn't work faith in your heart. Okay, the knowledge of this world is evil, okay, and it works wickedness. And wickedness has to do with those which are living by the aspiration, the imagination, and the principle. Okay, that's why the Lord calls them wicked. Okay, the believers that do not pursue the due process, okay, of the covenant, okay, are called ungodly because they're fruitless. These are the ungodly believers. Okay, the ungodly believers. Of course, the apostle, chief elder Jude brings that out concerning the working of this ungodliness. They're fruitless towards God. Okay, they're fruitless toward God, but they seem to prosper with the aspirations, the religious aspirations. Okay, now religious aspirations, that's what's deceptive. It's a lie. Okay, the ministers of unrighteousness, which are Satan's ministers, say, which are counterfeit apostles, counterfeit prophets, counterfeit evangelists, counterfeit pastors, counterfeit teachers. Okay, Satan, okay, is attacking the kingdom of God with his counterfeits. He's attacking it with counterfeit knowledge, changing the definitions of faith to that which is self-referencing and hopeful desires, wishful thinking, changing the definition of grace to mean that which is just a free will without responsibility. Free will without responsibility to God. As if God is all condoning. You see, inclusive. He's inclusive. That means, so God's the love of the world, which means he's being inclusive there. Okay, he's including everybody and regarding this message, but not including everybody, okay, regarding the entrance into his kingdom. There be few that will find it. So you can see how the Lord says, for God's the love of the world, that's inclusive. He's provided salvation for everybody, but not everybody is going to accept it. They're not going to accept it on his terms. Okay, so he calls it the broad way and the straight and narrow way. Okay, so he reduces it and he breaks it down. Okay, for God so loved the world, but not all the world will love God back. They will withhold the charity from God and approach God with empty heart, empty handed. Okay, that's an offense to God. Okay, fire only can pass through fire. Water cannot pass through fire. So if they're not engrafted within the fire of God, if they don't have, okay, the fire within them, okay, that is that the fire has not grown dim because of false knowledge, then they'll be able to pass through the altar of fire, from the altar of fire to the courts of the temple, into the very throne of God, the door of the crystal sea. Okay, so he says here, having their understanding darkened. See the word understanding now. Because their minds are influenced, okay, by Satan's shadow. Okay, these are things which the chief elder John brings out in his epistle. Okay, little children, these things I say unto you, that you sin not. Okay, little children sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay, so little children are those which, okay, are dealing with guilt. Okay, they're dealing with guilt, because the foundation of truth is still being built within their heart. Okay, so they're dealing with guilt. They're reflecting on the past. They're reflecting on the past to qualify themselves for the future. Okay, they're reflecting on the past to qualify themselves for the future. So instead of building a foundation of Christ, they're reflecting upon the things of the past. And so instead of bringing to the presence of God his Christ, they're bringing the presence of God, okay, the conflict of the defiled conscience. And all the Lord's going to say is that I've already taken care of that issue for you. Okay, I've already taken care of that because I rose from the dead. Do you believe me? Okay, if you believe me, then touch me. Okay, and that's what he told Thomas. Take your fingers and put them in my hands. Okay, and thrust your hand to my side. Okay, be not faithless, but believing. I'm your contact point now. Okay, I am the lamb that you're to touch. Okay, your priesthood now only touches me. Okay, I am the law of grace. Okay, I have set down for you the perimeters and the boundaries of this expression and the terms which I'm going to provide for you. Okay, these commandments which I'm give you after I ascend into heaven. That's what Jesus is telling them. That he, through the Holy Ghost, gave to his apostles these commandments. Okay, Acts chapter 1. Okay, and that by these commandments, we do service to him with this testimony, as Chief Elder Peter brings out. Okay, beginning from John's baptism unto his ascension, must one be a witness with us. To be a partner and one to be a witness with us. To be one that's in this covenant now, you have to accept the record which Jesus provided. Beginning from his baptism to his ascension, which has to do with the suffering, okay, and his overcoming. The suffering and his overcoming. Okay, from lowness to greatness. Okay, as we also Paul brings out in the book of Philippians. Okay, who being in the form of flesh, he thought not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, because he came into the form of the flesh to provide this provision for us. Okay, of equality, the equality of his grace. Not the equality of the position, okay, of ruling as a God, but the equality of his grace. Grace and the grace. He's given us this grace. That's why he breathed on them. Okay, he breathed on them to resurrect that which was dead. Okay, he breathed on them to resurrect that which was dead. Then he says, receive you the Holy Ghost, which they did. This was their breath of life. Okay, breathing in them. So having, now back to verse 18 now, we're in Ephesians 4:18. Having an understanding darkened, okay, that's the shadow of doubt. Having their understanding darkened, okay, being alienated from the life of God, how are they alienated? Through their ignorance that is in them. Because they can't set order to truth absent the anointing. Okay, they can't set order to truth absent of the anointing. And so because they can't set order to it, they elect themselves to role play. Okay, the characters and the events of the Bible. They elect themselves to role play the characters. They read about, okay, a particular individual like Elijah in the Bible, okay, or John the Baptist in the Bible, and they want to role play these particular people, individuals. So they find it, convenient for their own character to role play. So they role play these particular individuals, which they admire. Those in the music ministry, they admire David, okay, for playing on a lyre. They look at that particular expression of how David found favor before God, okay, and that David was one after God's own heart. But it wasn't the music ministry God was even speaking of, or David was pursuing, okay? But yet, those of that particular skill level were looking for someone to emulate, a prototype. There's somebody to emulate or to prototype themselves after. Well, even name a ministry after that, their own ministry. Okay, that's not covenant faith at all. Okay, they may have been enlightened, and they have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, the seal was provided for them, but they're using that power for their own record. Now you're beginning to understand what lasciviousness is. Okay, they're holding the grace of God into lasciviousness. So we'll get to that. And through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. You see the language that the Apostle Paul is bringing out to those he's instructing. He's giving contrast to the Ephesian church. Okay, those which are in covenant now, they've been enlightened through the preaching of the gospel. Okay, and hearing this, they were sealed with the Holy Ghost. Okay, and then being instructed further, they came into covenant, following the footsteps of the priesthood, okay, of Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. After the order of Melchizedek, it has to do with bloodless sacrifices, but sacrifices of knowledge. Okay, even King David understood that. Okay, that God doesn't desire the blood of oxen and the blood of sheep or goats, okay, but that of a contrary heart, a broken and contrary heart does God desire. Okay, one that's yoked, okay, with this knowledge. And we're yoked with the knowledge. That's what Jesus said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take this knowledge which I'm providing for you. This will free you from the condemnation and curse of the law. Okay, I am fulfilling these things as was so promised. But all the promises which were spoken through the mouth of the prophets, I am now fulfilling and putting them within my covenant. Okay, this is for the rewarding of your faith after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron. Okay, the rewards and promises of the reward of Aaron had to do with earthly kingdoms, earthly boundaries, earthly tokens, carnal sacrifices, and a defiled conscience. So they covered their heads, okay, with sackcloth and ashes, which represented the defiled conscience. Okay, and so now we all with open face, not with one smeared with ashes nor covered, okay, which the false religious system today, they still uses. They still use the examples of those which have the defiled conscience, of those of that first covenant. The book of Psalms describes quite interesting detail, okay, as King David pens down the struggles of the defiled conscience, okay, which, of course, reading these things, we can associate with that because we are also captive with the defiled conscience. But now that we have been illuminated and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, okay, we sow now good things in the soil, okay, which, of course, we see in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 again. Okay, we're sowing now good things in the soil, okay, which before, okay, we were sowing those things which are not profitable. That is concerning thorns and thistles, okay, and briars. Okay, so here we can see that the whole world lies in wickedness. Okay, they're under the yoke, okay, of false knowledge. Okay, but now iniquity is coming to the stages, okay, of being twofold. The expression of it and the openness of that kingdom, the openness of the kingdom of darkness, okay, is clearly seen by those which are in the light. Okay, which before, okay, the tokens of Satan's kingdom, okay, were cleverly concealed, okay, with fair words. Okay, but now those fair words, okay, are understood as being the bitter herbs. Okay, the fair words are the bitter words. Okay, and that's why the children of Israel and during the time of Passover, okay, would partake of the bitter herbs. The bitter herbs for the bitter words, which the defiled conscience was identifying until Christ would come, okay, and turned the bitterness into sweetness, okay, and darkness into light. Hey, okay, well, let's go on here, verse 19, who being past feelings, I like the word past feeling here, those which are blindness of heart, replacing the anointing with cold precept. They were replacing the anointing with the cold precept. Okay, those with a defiled conscience revert to the law, okay, in order to measure their worthiness to God, to give value to themselves to God. Okay, well, how do they do that? They use the scale of the law, okay, and regarding their behavior of life. Our behavior of life is dictated by the anointing. Okay, our behavior of life is dictated by the anointing, and by the anointing we fulfill the law. Okay, we fulfill the law. Now the Apostle Paul, okay, makes these distinctions that the law is good. That's right, it is good. It has its place value, but not in faith. The place value of the law is that it exposes the state of the mind and the soul that is defiled, but it doesn't provide the remedy. Jesus did that. Okay, because if the priesthood of the earthly priesthood was sufficient and the law was okay, profitable for the cleansing of the soul, then why did Jesus have to come? Okay, it was God that gave the law for the purpose of exposing the state of the mind, okay, the motives of the heart, and the condition of Adam, that he was and is in transgression against God until Christ would come, because that transgression reigned from Adam even through Moses. Okay, when the law was given. Okay, when the law was given, Moses still had to cover his face. Okay, and Moses also spoke of another prophet that would come, that would even be greater than himself. Okay, which he instructed the children of Israel that they should heed this next man. They should heed this next man, okay, which would bring them this redemption. But they didn't. Okay, instead of heeding, Okay, that which God was providing, okay, they fought against it. The law fights against grace. The law fights against grace. Okay, so being past feeling, okay, as grace grows dim in them, they in any event the pseudo relationship about Jesus. Being past feeling, as grace grows dim, the enlightenment which they have received, okay, the mind now becomes closed again. Now you see that in the illustration. The cloud in the mind, the passing shadow of the conscience. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. I like the word lasciviousness, because we'll be talking more about this. We're talking about this for your discernment. Okay? And discernment has to do with the contrast between those who serve God in truth and those who try to serve him but yet profane his name. Their illumination never proceeded any further. Or the seal which they have received, okay, is not put to the altar. The seal must be put to the altar. Okay, the seal must be put to the altar. Okay, as one's faith is sealed in blood. Okay, it must be put to the altar. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Okay, as grace grows dim within them, they invent a pseudo relationship about Jesus. Okay, and by their own psychology about him, and also their own evidence. Their psychology about Jesus is their evidence. Okay, it's a false witness. I'll say that again. Their psychology about Jesus is a false witness. They think they know him. Okay, they think they know him. That's the psychology about it. Okay, and so they bend the will by the force of that thinking, the force of psychology. Their mind is changed, but their soul remains indifferent. Okay, their mind has changed. Their philosophy of life changes, but the soul is not bettered. So the enlightenment which they have received doesn't go any further. Okay, so in other words, they fell by the wayside. And so what about those that received enlightenment and were sealed? Okay, well, those which were enlightened and were sealed, they proceeded a little further, but fallen out of the bag. Okay, not having no priesthood, they fell by the wayside, and of course, what happened? They grew among the thorns, okay, and the thorns and the thistles and the briars, they choked them, and they were unfruitful, okay, but they were still alive, okay, they were gathered together, yeah, they had their religious meetings, their lectures, their conferences, they had their churches, they had their evangelistic meetings, they had all these things going for them, okay, but they were unfruitful, okay, they were mature to bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, or some 100-fold. They never got to that point because the priesthood is only profitable within the environment that favors it, okay, which means okay, remaining with the priesthood, remaining with the stewardship. So being past feeling, they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, that which also has to do with false regeneration, a pseudo-work regeneration. The illumination which they had received provided the boost, okay, for change. It provided the boost for change. There was a power that was present, and that's true. You can't debate that. The power of the presence of God was there. Okay, and some of them, you could say they fall away. They change forth. A seared conscience comes forth. A seared conscience, is evident by the zeal of that tradition. The illumination now has been darkened. Okay, the illumination has been darkened. Okay, even that which is proceeded to that which is the green, the level green. Okay, there's different shades of green. But you have to be white. You have to be as pure as he is pure. Jesus said, blessed are pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you're not seeing God, the soul is green or dark. Okay, if you don't see God, well, how do you see him in this knowledge? You see the Father in the knowledge which is being presented. That's exactly what Jesus said. And the apostles did the same thing. The knowledge which they shared with the brethren, okay, was the face of Jesus. Okay, for we know him in part, and we see him in part, and we prophesy in part, as the apostle Paul brings out. It means we prophesy the portion which we have received. Okay, when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. Okay, which means that the process of it has a complete cycle. Okay, so that the process begins again. Okay, but every process, every season, the tree grows higher. The fruit grows brighter through the changing of the weather. Okay, from the spring to the fall, you know, from seeding time to harvest time. Okay, that's the process and the cycles of your growth. So who being past feeling give themselves over? Okay, which is a false witness. Does lasciviousness is that false witness? Okay, a false regeneration. Okay, in other words, they're random acts of charity. Random acts of charity. Okay, what they feel, their impulsiveness, or what they feel compelled to do, okay, under a religious persuasion, they assign that the fruits of God. Okay, the false religious system, everyone in the false religious system identifies themselves to be the wheat believers. They think they're the wheat. And anyone that disagrees with them on any kind of precept or ordinance, they view as the tares. Okay, every church that you go to, any pew that you sit in, okay, the minister up there will assign his people to be the wheat. Okay, whether it be Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons, the Catholic or the Lutherans, the Baptists, okay, or the Pentecostals. Every one of them views themselves as being the wheat and building on the rock. Okay, but none of them are incumbent. Okay, they're not incumbent. Their illumination has been stifled by false knowledge as much as the seal. They never entered the priesthood. Okay, if the anointing was indeed working within them, then they would come to the source. But you notice that they're not coming to the source. Okay, and that's evidence itself that they only reached level green. Okay, or of course, level black, level green, level white. Okay, it proceeds in that order. Okay, as of course the Book of Enoch brings out, and of course as the Lord revealed to me. The Lord revealed to me in a dream back in the early 80s. Okay, and regarding the teachings of the false religious system. Okay, and in the teachings of the false religious system, okay, I opened my Bible up, okay, and in my Bible was a green spirit. It was green. Okay, and the Lord assigned that green spirit to a previous theology, which of course needed to be cleansed. Okay, cleansed out of me. I had to be cleansed of those things. The Lord revealed that, okay, around 1979. Okay, 78, 79, that's concerning that cleansing. Okay, that the priesthood is within the covenant. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay, but I have not entered into the covenant yet. Okay, and the Lord was showing me this procedure. What the Lord revealed at that time, okay, was rather frightening. Because at that point, I was just understanding what grace was. I just came out of Bible school. The Bible school didn't teach me faith. Okay, they talked about it, but they didn't teach me what the true definition of it, and they didn't teach me what grace was. They talked about grace, but they didn't know what grace was. And upon leaving that, okay, the Lord enlightened me. The Spirit taught me through this contact, okay, of the dream. Okay, and my eyes being open, okay, this is, the Lord was assisting me to begin building these elements, okay, which you have today. Okay, the elements of the gospel. Okay, grace, faith, righteousness, and a seal. Okay, it's righteousness. Okay, and justification and sanctification, holiness, truth and charity, peace and rest. How the Lord was bringing these things out. It was building from one level to the next level. And each level, there was a paring down of a foundation. There was a foundation of thought that needed to be torn down, and suddenly everything became clear. Okay, the clarity of it just continued to get sharper and sharper and sharper. And this is what grace does, grace unto grace. That's what grace does. It continually brings more and more clarity. Okay, where we're talking about lasciviousness here. Now, the lasciviousness here, which the Apostle Jude, Chief Elder Jude, is going to bring out for us. Now, we're going to turn over there now, so make sure you put your marker here. Okay, in Ephesians, we're going to turn over to the book of Jude. Okay, and in Jude, okay, we're going to start around verse 4. Okay, for there are certain men. Now, Jude is identifying, okay, those which have defiled the flesh and despised dominion. So I can highlight the word certain men there in verse 4 and draw a line from the word certain men to those which despise dominion. The filthy dreamers. These are those that follow the logic of their imagination, which identifies defiled conscience. They're just following their imagination. Okay, the defile the flesh, which means they're eating the truth which they're consuming. Is leavened. Defile the flesh. It's leavened knowledge. And leavened knowledge works with what? They despise government. They have a very narrow view and understanding of what stewardship is all about. They look at stewardship as more or less a competitive position. Instead of a building position, they look at it as a competitive position. So when they see the word chief apostle or prophet, okay, they look at it as a position of a competition. Okay, that's the mindset of defiled conscience. Instead of the building, okay, they're plundering. Okay, they plunder through the imagination. Defiled knowledge. Despised dominion. They speak evil of dignities. Okay, that's the certain men which Chief Elder Jude is bringing to our attention here. There are certain men who crept in unawares, who's present there. They were possessing fruitless knowledge. Okay, but they had a lot of intellectual presentation. There are certain men crept in unawares who before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now look, see what he calls them? Ungodly men. These are fruitless believers. Okay, either they're level black or level green, but they're not level white. So they're ungodly believers. They're fruitless. Their hands are empty in the presence of God, and that's an offense. You can't come before the king with an empty heart and an empty-handed. You must present before God, okay, the gifts which you have received, as casting your crowns before the throne, the 24 elders did. Casting your crowns before the throne was a reciprocation to the king. The king gave them that position, and they're reciprocating back to him that reflection. That's what we do. Okay, we offer to the king the crown. Okay, the crown is your charity. You're casting before the king of kings, the crown of your charity. That's the crown of your overcoming. We're putting on this crown of peace. We're putting on the crown of truth. We're putting on the crown of life. Okay, we're casting our crowns before the feet of the king. Okay, in this reciprocation, that's true humbleness of mind. Okay, that's true humbleness of mind. To present before the king your own, okay, ideals is an offense to the king. Like standing before Pharaoh and telling Pharaoh that he's all washed up. Okay, we're standing before Pharaoh and beginning to critique him, okay, in a way of grading his behavior or grading his efforts. Okay, you stand before Pharaoh and try to grade his efforts or behavior, you're going to get your head chopped off. Because that's not your position. Okay, to grade the king. Okay, but the false religious system, as Satan, you notice Satan did this at the very beginning, he was grading God, okay, on God's behavior and choices and direction. He was grading him. That was an insult. And God called that iniquity. Okay, you were perfect in a day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. You, Satan, you feel that you possessed the qualification to grade your creator. Okay, now that's pride. That's pride. And the false religious system tries to grade the scale which God has sanctified in stewardship. The false religious system is trying to grade the scale which God has put in the sanctification of your priesthood. They're calling your charity, okay, death. Okay, they're calling your charity death when it's actually life. There are certain men, these zealous theologians, these are certain men crept in unawares who are before old or of old ordained to this condemnation. Jude is bringing out, they are appointed this curse of derision which followed all those which resisted stewardship since the beginning. They're ordained to this condemnation, which is from the very beginning, before of old. So Jude is bringing out the examples, the negative role models of Korah, Dathan, Bahiman. Okay, same thing with Esau. Okay, or Cain, or Balaam, he brings those things out. Or Korah, okay, in verse 11. They have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam, for he warned perishing against Saint of Korah. These are the spots. These spots, which means their bread is contaminated. Okay, it's not unleavened. It's contaminated bread. Okay, and these are spots in your feast of charity. They are exchanging with you a form of knowledge that's contaminating. It's evil. It's evil knowledge. Okay, evil knowledge is unprofitable for faith. The only knowledge that's profitable for your faith is truth. Facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, which also include government, truth, and the spirit. Prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God. Okay, the gifts, the operations, and the administrations. Okay, which is given to every man to profit withal. Okay, is given to you for your increase. But these certain men which crept in unawares, okay, were not giving you the provision that's sanctified by God. And he called them ungodly. They're fruitless. And so what were they doing? Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So highlight the word lasciviousness there, because this is what Paul's talking about. Paul's reflecting upon this knowledge here. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So they use the scriptures as a psychology book, replacing the covenant, okay, with their own vices, religious vices. Okay, and also lasciviousness has to do with like self-awareness of the own passion, the expression. Okay, and of course he brings this out even more so when Paul proceeds in his letter there. Okay, so they use grace as an example. They use grace as free will. The divine is free will. Okay, to cover their sin, and the law is their scale of righteousness. Okay, the law is used to flog the defiled conscience, to silence the guilt. So they're turning God's grace into lasciviousness. They're using the law to flog their own conscience. They're trying to purge their conscience, to silence the guilt. So they pursue, they press harder, okay, for resolve. Okay, and they do this through their programs of fasting, their programs of, you say, committed prayer, their programs of church building, finances, giving more. Okay, let's give more and more and more. They ask for more money. They ask for bigger churches. They ask for more outreaches. The God code is consuming the wrong thing. Okay, and because the vanity cannot fill the soul, so they consume more and more air, but there's no nutriments within that. There's no nutriments in the air. You say the unleavened bread is not being consumed. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians now, Ephesians 4. Okay, so here it says here concerning lasciviousness, to work, see the word lasciviousness, to work. This is what they're laboring with. They're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, so they're laboring with the wrong tokens. They're laboring with perspectives of passion, the aspiration, the imagination, say the religious principles. The religious principles are founded upon, okay, the documentation or dogma, okay, which they're favoring, okay, which they feel is convenient, they can conveniently work with. Okay, like tithing is an example. Tithing is a fable. So they pursue those things which are convenient. I'll just give my money and I'll give my time. Okay, but what about your faith? Okay, you're not reciprocating to God what he delights in. So you're violating God. Okay, what God delights in, you're violating, we see, with your own vices. You're following the record in your own soul, and you're just in rhythm with your own passion. Okay, so then he goes on here, to work all in cleanness with greediness. See the word greediness here. So I had the word greediness, okay, and draw life to the word greediness to lasciviousness. So you're laboring here with everything that's unsanctified, which confirms the defiled conscience they seek to cover in the mask. Okay, they want to mask the face of death. That, in other words, Satan's guilt. They're trying to mask it. Hey, but the Holy Ghost, okay, the Comforter, continually opens the conscience for okay, full disclosure. Okay, they talk about transparency, but why are they hiding among the trees? They're talking about transparency, see? Okay, well, we believe in transparency. That's what they're talking about. They always talk about, oh, we believe transparency among the callings. We want to be transparent in our ministry. They use these, great swelling words, which Jude brings out, great swelling words of vanity, okay, to try to identify themselves in order to, they want to master the understanding of what Paul's talking about, and they can't. They can't penetrate the mystery because the veil is upon their mind. Their conscience is clouded. They can't see clearly, but yet they want to lead. The blind are leading the blind. They want to lead. Okay, they get in these charismatic positions. Okay, they have charisma. They get in these charismatic positions, okay, of church ministry, they call it. And then they begin to rule they begin to mold perceptions. Okay, Charisma Magazine is a good example, okay, of a lot of opinions, but no wisdom. Okay, all these columnists are offering their opinions. These columnists, which are claiming these particular callings, are offering their perceptions in form of teaching. That's not wisdom. That's not building. That's not reciprocating to God what he sanctified. Christ is not in it at all, but rather it's Antichrist. Okay, it's in directly opposing that which God has sanctified, okay, by their own vices. Okay, and this is what Paul says here in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. I mean, the Spirit teaches charity for regeneration and not the psychology of the soul and all its struggles. Okay, I'll say that again. The Spirit teaches charity for regeneration and not the psychology of the soul and all its struggles. Okay, the books that are written by these ministers today, okay, and also these popular teachers, okay, continually want to address the struggles of the conscience. The conscience is defiled. Okay, it's either black or green, and that's why they're continually addressing these things. They're writing books, okay, trying to describe, okay, the defiled conscience, the green conscience. We'll call it green. And they see that there's various colors of green, but they're not, of course, they're not using the word green, okay, as I'm using it. Okay, but they're describing, okay, the various struggles of it, the psychology of it, the philosophy of this world. They're resourcing the record of man, the philosophy of this world, to try to penetrate the curtain, okay, the curtain, or to penetrate beyond the curtain, the mystery. They want to see Christ, but they want to see him on the terms, okay, of their own psychology. Okay, that the very thing that's blinding them, okay, the very thing that's doing them harm is what they're partaking of. Okay, so but you have not so learned Christ. That is not the perception he is molding within you. If so be that you have heard of him, the height of the word heard, we're talking about that which is enlightenment. You've heard of him. Heard of him. They've been taught by him. Height of the word taught. Okay, because that's the seal. They've been taught by him. Now you go to the next stage here, the seal. But you can't stop there. Okay, you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now that's the priesthood. Okay, now you're building through the priesthood of your charity. Okay, you're now building his kingdom, and God takes delight in that. Okay, God takes delight in that because that is a selfless act. Selfless act, which means you're not working with the record of your soul. That's what you're putting to death. You're putting to death the voices of that aspiration, which are crying out for expression. Okay, it's crying out for expression. You watch these particular movies. Okay, everything you see on television, of course, is the underlining powers behind that has to do with the honoring of the aspiration. Okay, the honoring of the principle. The honoring of the imagination. Taking your starship beyond the stars. You're going at warp speed through space. That's the imagination. There's no reality to it. Okay, but it excites the imagination. Because you feel that excitement, you feel that it lends evidence to it. There's a reality and wants to lend evidence to that. So people pursue that and try to reenact that, okay, or try to role play that. They try to role play that, like Trekkies. Trekkies try to do that. They want to buy, you see, the phaser, the laser, whatever it is. They want to learn the language of warp speed. Okay, all that language there. Okay, even the creatures. Okay, so that's what the false religious system is doing with the Bible. They're taking the characters and events of the Bible and making applications in themselves, even using certain Bible language. Okay, it's not the language of the Spirit; it's the language of the imagination that they're using. Even calling themselves prophets and apostles. Okay, which of course before they were gun shy about it. Okay, 20 years ago, they were gun-shy about it because the reason why they were gun-shy about it is because they're using your imagination with it, and they're looking at it as a competitive term. Okay, looking at it as a competitive term, so they're shy about it. But when you look at it as a building block, there's nothing to shy away from because the Spirit of the Lord gives you the skills of this craftsmanship of building his house by the Spirit. Okay, so let's go on here, verse 21. As you get your sacrifices ready. Okay, if so be that you have heard of him. So how like the word heard, been taught by him. How like the word taught, and been as the truth is in Jesus. How like the word truth there. So we got enlightenment, we got the seal. Now you've entered into this place of the covenant priesthood. Now with this covenant priesthood, regeneration is taking place within you. So now you're putting off something. See the word put off there. This is the circumcision of the heart. It's the purging process. Okay, the purging process.
Okay, God isn't removing you from his kingdom, but he's removing Satan's kingdom from you through this purging process. Okay, that you put off concerning the former conversation. Hide the word former conversation. This is the ignorance of substitutionism. Okay, conversation, draw a line from the word conversation, the word lasciviousness in verse 19. This is what Jude brings out in Jude 1:4. Okay, turning the grace of God to lasciviousness. Okay, that which is pure and holy, they turn it into the passion of their own expressions. Okay, their passions of their own expressions. Okay, these are those discerning men, which Jude is bringing out, which also chief elder John brings out, whose name was Diotrephes, and also the apostle Paul brings out. Okay, Hymenaeus and Alexander and Hermogenes. Okay, and also Demas. Okay, he was bringing which betrayed Christ. He was bringing to the attention of the church. These men betrayed Christ, or they betrayed him. They betrayed him. Okay, because they did not put off the tokens of this world, but rather tried to work with the tokens of this world. Okay, in order to try to master Christ. Okay, so instead of serving the king, okay, you want to make the king your servant. That's what they're doing. And I've heard that taught, by the way, okay, at this particular Bible school. If the Spirit doesn't move you, you move the Spirit. In other words, you put the bridle in the Spirit, in the mouth of the Spirit, and you tell the Spirit to go in this direction and do that and this and that for you. That's what they were teaching. Why, just send your angel. Tell your angel what to do. And your angel will go out and do it for you. Okay. No, we are subject to them. They are not subject to us. Let's go on here. That you put off concerning the former conversation. Okay, that's the language of the world, the language of ignorance, the language of substitutionism. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Okay, the old man, those things which are rooted in traditions of death. The things which are rooted in traditions of death have to be severed, cut off, removed, plucked up, and torn down. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. See the word corrupt there. That's lasciviousness again. Okay, because it works all uncleanness with greediness, the desire for more and more and more, the consumption. The consumption scale increases. That means you want to consume more and more and more greediness. The appetite of the God code, okay, being starved, pushes you to press harder and harder and harder, okay, into religious principles. When it presses that in religious principles, okay, what are you using? You're using the law. Okay, so you're substituting Jesus with the law. Okay, you're substituting Jesus with the law. You're trying to bring the rest to the imagination by consenting to the law. That's will worship. You're consenting to something that you feel is sanctified by God. Okay, in order to bring, to silence the guilt in your own mind for will worship. Okay, and he calls them deceitful lust. So let's go on here. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt, is dying, according to deceitful lust. Deceitful, which means these are misleading powers. Misleading powers. Okay, it says one thing but does another. It's like Satan putting on a costume, okay, or a mask that looks like Jesus. And so people see the face of Jesus and they think that everything that's being expressed, okay, through that mask, okay, is truth, but it's not. That's why it's called deceitful. It's misleading the thinking. It's saying one thing, but doing another. Okay, so that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, how like that there? Renewed. Let your refreshing be by this anointing. By the anointing, you know Christ. By the anointing, you know him. So be renewed in the spirit of mind. And then you put on this. Okay, see the word put on there in verse 24? So hide the word put on in 24 and draw a line from the word, or highlight put on, and draw a line from the word put on to the word put off there in verse 22. We're putting off one, putting on another. So there's a process of purging, cleansing, scourging through each cycle. So that you come forth as a vessel for the finer. Okay, that you're as silver purified seven times in the fire. So now your enlightenment has been sealed. Okay, being baptized in the Holy Spirit now has been sealed. How is it sealed? Through the wisdom of your priesthood. Okay, the wisdom of God points you to the priesthood, is pointing you to the very source for this cleansing so that your soul will be filled. When a soul is filled, you feel peace. You enter into rest. Okay, you notice that when a lion is hungry, he roars. But once he devours the prey, he sleeps. He's found his rest. He's found his rest. And we're continually consuming the things of the Spirit for our rest. So we labor to enter into our rest. We eat of him and we drink of him to enter into his rest. The soul is filled, okay, with Christ because the conscience has been purified by faith in him. So renewed in the spirit of your mind, regeneration takes place, and then your thinking changes. Okay, when regeneration takes place, your thinking changes. Your whole perception of life changes. Your whole perception of life changes. What you thought was necessary, okay, to sow strife for, okay, you withdraw from that now. Okay, you withdraw from that. Okay, you're not using your logic as your sword. Why, truth is your sword now. Okay, before your logic was a sword, okay, you used that to beat and to destroy anything that would violate your logic, anything that would threaten your perception of what life is all about. You were ready to fight against that. So you used the sword of your logic. And of course, the sword is also your principle. But now we put down our sword, as Jesus told Peter, put up your sword. Peter, you can't use your religious principle now. Peter, you're not to operate under, okay, the first covenant. The first covenant, you needed the sword. The second covenant, you don't. You don't use that sword in my covenant. Okay, my covenant uses the sword of faith or shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your mobility is in peace. That you put off one, you put on another. Okay, we're getting ready to close here. That you put on the new man, which after God has created. See the word created there? Okay, something is being formed again. Okay, something is being formed again, being created. But you're being formed again in righteousness and true holiness, which means there's a false holiness, but it's true holiness. Now you're being clothed in his virtue, true holiness. This is for your increase in fruit by his priesthood, true holiness.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.